Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This doesn't happen very often. The advocates for abortion admitting that not everyone in the United States is pro-choice and favors abortion. They would like you to believe that if you're pro-life, you are in the small minority. Lately, NARAL Pro-Choice America has done some research and discovered that even people who are marginally in the middle on abortion are using pro-life language, and it makes them upset. They are going to retool their messaging online, and it's a part of a bigger effort to nationalize NARAL. Joining us to discuss all of this, Dr. Michael New. He's visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at the Catholic University of America. He's associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, columnist for National Review Online, and author of a recent column titled NARAL Admits Pro-Lifers Are Succeeding at Online Messaging. Dr. New, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thanks for having me.
How important is online messaging to the pro-life movement?
Online messaging, I think, is very important. One thing pro-lifers know is it's tough to get pro-life commentary and analysis published in kind of mainstream media outlets. With the internet, we can bypass the mainstream media and go online. You know, we have publications like Life News, LifeSite News, Live Action News, and we can just even post pro-life articles onto outlets or platforms like Facebook and Twitter. So again, online messaging is very important. It's a great way for pro-lifers to bypass the mainstream media.
Tell us about a recent article in McClatchy, D.C.
Yeah, the McClatchy, D.C. article is very interesting. NARAL, National Abortion Rights Action League, more or less admits that pro-lifers are winning the online messaging battle. They did some focus groups of voters in Arizona and Michigan, and they discussed the Reproductive Health Act in New York, which explicitly legalized abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. And they found that when discussing this piece of legislation, a lot of the people in the focus group used pro-life language to discuss it, and that concerned NARAL. Another thing they noticed is that people on the internet were very likely to find pro-life content on such online platforms as Facebook and YouTube. So NARAL more or less admits that pro-lifers are winning the battle when it comes to online messaging.
Why is the language that we use when discussing abortion important?
Language is very important. A lot of people are conflicted about abortion. And essentially, we can use language in certain ways to persuade people or to frame the pro-life position in a way that's more appealing. That when pieces of pro-life legislation are discussed, it's always helpful when we discuss them in terms of protecting the unborn or protecting preborn children. So language, I think, can be very important. And again, online messaging is a good way for pro-lifers to effectively use pro-life language and get our message out there.
So what kind of pro-life messaging are we seeing online?
We're seeing a lot of good examples of pro-life messaging online. Again, we have publications like Life News, LifeSite News, Live Action News that provide daily news, commentary, analysis that's of interest to pro-lifers. Beltway groups like Susan B. Anthony List, National Right to Life, Americans United for Life, Students for Life, you know, all have good, you know, online platforms like Twitter and Facebook they use to promote pro-life content and ideas. Also, there's some good YouTube video series. Students for Life has a group of short videos called Why, which offers a lot of good hard-hitting pro-life content. Live Action, sort of the video series called Pro-Life Replies, which includes short videos of pro-lifers responding to common, quote-unquote, pro-choice arguments. So there's a lot of good pro-life content out there online.
What is NARAL planning to do to revamp its online messaging?
What NARAL seems to be interested in doing is starting to launch short videos that people can view online and making use of what they call influencers. There's people out there with lots of followers on platforms like Twitter and Instagram, and I think NARAL wants to produce some short videos and make use of these influencers in the hopes that will be effective in persuading people to support legal abortion.
What does the plan to use comedians tell you about NARAL's attitude toward women and the unborn?
That was very odd. This McClatchy article said that one thing NARAL is going to do is make use of comedians. And I think this is going to backfire spectacularly. I mean, even people who support legal abortion don't necessarily like abortion. They think it's a tough decision. They often think it's tragic. So I don't think you can make abortion funny. I think that, again, the fact that millions of children die every year, hundreds of thousands of unborn children die every year, clearly is no laughing matter.
The McClatchy article also mentions NARAL's effort to nationalize its operation. Tell us about that.
That's interesting. NARAL apparently wants to take some power away from its state affiliates and make decisions in its Washington, D.C. office. I think that a lot of the state affiliates don't like that. They feel that they're better aware of the situation on the ground in their specific state and have a better sense of, you know, what arguments and what approaches might be effective. Pro-lifers tend to know that grassroots organizing is effective. You know, we know that if we organize at the grassroots level, you know, we can succeed. NARAL has a lot of money. I think they think by consolidating their operations in Washington, D.C. and just outspending pro-lifers, they can be effective. I don't think they'll succeed, but it is interesting that there's a lot of internal tension. A lot of their state affiliates don't like the fact that they're losing some power and that more decisions are going to be made by the national organization.
NARAL also has identified three key voter blocks, not necessarily demographics, but voter blocks by values: For the Win, Kids First, and No Special Treatment. What do those labels mean?
It's interesting. They do identify three blocks of voters they think are persuadable. For the Win involves people who have either children or grandchildren and are concerned about their children. Kids First involves young adults who like to watch online videos and consume social media content. And No Special Treatment consists of older Americans, I think mostly men, who believe in kind of following the rules and law and order. NARAL seems to think these groups are persuadable in terms of supporting legal abortion. I'm skeptical, but those are the demographics they're highlighting with their online messaging efforts.
Why in all of this does NARAL avoid talking about abortion itself? They want to talk about freedom. They want to talk about government intrusion. Why don't they want to talk about abortion?
Because the other day, people don't like abortion. Abortion is, you know, the ruthless killing of an unborn child, and people reject that. So they know they don't win when the discussion focuses on unborn children. NARAL thinks they can win when they use euphemisms. So they'll talk about privacy and rights and choice. So they try to cover up what they do, essentially. That they know at the end of the day that most Americans don't like abortion, so they have to try to cover it up and use phrases like choice and privacy in an attempt to get people to support legal abortion.
Are groups like NARAL resigned to the reversal of Roe v. Wade?
I don't think they're resigned to it, but I think they are certainly aware that the reversal of Roe v. Wade may well happen. President Trump did get a chance to appoint three judges to the Supreme Court. He appointed Amy Coney Barrett and Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh. And right now on the court, I would say you have six judges who are abortion skeptical. And the Supreme Court did agree to hear the Mississippi case that involves the constitutionality of a law that would ban abortions after 15 weeks gestation. There is a chance the Supreme Court may use that as an opportunity to overturn Roe v. Wade. We don't know if that will happen or not. But I think that they are well aware that states are going to be able to do more to protect preborn children, and they're preparing themselves for that.
Finally, Planned Parenthood was recently boasting that it was the largest gender-affirming healthcare organization. Tell us about that.
Right. I would recommend that people read the article by Alexander DeSantis in National Review Online, that Planned Parenthood is stepping up their efforts for people with gender dysphoria. These are biological men who think they're women or biological women who think they are men. You know, I think that pro-lifers and others should really be concerned about this. I think there's questions about the quality of counseling these individuals are getting. I think there's certainly questions about minors and are they getting hormones that they, you know, ought not be getting without their parents' permission. I think one reason why Planned Parenthood's interested in this is it's another revenue stream. These hormone treatments typically have to go on for a long time. So, again, that does provide them a source of revenue. We do know that abortion facilities need revenue to survive. So I think that's partly why they're interested in this issue. But it should concern pro-lifers. Again, there's legitimate concerns about the safety of these hormone treatments. There's legitimate concerns about minors. So, again, this should trouble pro-lifers and conservatives.
Dr. Michael New is Visiting Assistant Professor of Social Research and Political Science at the Catholic University of America. He's Associate Scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, columnist for National Review Online, and author of a recent column titled, NARAL Admits Pro-Lifers Are Succeeding at Online Messaging. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Dr. New, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Joy Pohlman is with us next. We'll talk about opportunities during a political crisis.
They want to, you know, defend me to the U.S. Supreme Court, file a petition, let's go ahead. You know, the worst that could happen is they say, nope, we don't hear you, and you officially lose. But one of the attorneys informed me that, no, the worst that could happen is they take your case, and then you lose.
Colorado baker Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop speaking at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And I realized that this case was so much more than just, do I get to go back to making the cakes that I love to make and, you know, working with the customers that I like? It became clear to me that this was a case about every American's right to live and work according to their conscience without fear of punishment from the government. The government was punishing me for living my faith in the marketplace.
For a contribution of $300, you can watch an on-demand video stream of Jack Phillips' presentation and all of the speakers at this year's conference. Find out more at issuesetc.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Truth, freedom, and vocation are the pillars of a Concordia University Chicago education. Through them, we form our students for lives of influence and service for the common good. This is the education American society needs right now. I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth, freedom, and vocation to become the pillars of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.